If you're a millennial or younger, you've probably never heard of stagflation, but it may be time to add it to your vocabulary. Hi, I'm Rob West. Rarely seen since the 1970s, stagflation is when inflation is high and economic growth is at a standstill, or worse. Are we there yet? I'll talk about that with economist Jerry Boyer today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we like to call our guest Jerry Boyer our favorite economist. That's because he always has a way of taking the dismal out of the dismal science of economics and making it understandable and rooted in God's Word. Jerry, great to have you back with us.
Always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
Jerry, we'll get to stagflation here in just a few moments. But first, there's something else I wanted to get your thoughts on, and that's the recent Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. Jerry, would you comment on the financial implications of that decision that Christians should be thinking about?
Well, I think one of the things that we need to be thinking about is the companies that we own are under enormous pressure right now. As investors, the companies that we own as shareholders are under enormous pressure right now from pro-abortion activists to come out against pro-life protections in individual states. And on the Walmart annual meeting recently, and the Lowe's annual meeting, and some others, there were proposals which basically instructed the companies to do a study in which they would identify the risks of anti-abortion legislation, or what they called access, something that decreases access to reproductive health care, which we know is a euphemism for abortion, to study the quote-unquote risks of that, the business risks, and then to take that into account when they're making decisions when it comes to expansion or shutting down operations in these various states. So what that amounts to is getting companies to essentially threaten states which are going to, after Roe versus Wade is reversed, which are going to protect the unborn. Well, now Roe versus Wade is reversed. So there won't be four proposals next time around. There'll be 40, 400 maybe, where there will be a tremendous wave of pressure on the corporations to get them to use their cultural and financial power to threaten states which protect the unborn. There'll be a flimsy kind of a fig leaf here about the business purpose that, well, if you force women to have babies, babies cost money. Yeah, we know they do, right? And it will drive women out of the workforce. I mean, these arguments are absolutely ridiculous because abortion took 64 million people out of the workforce. So if we have a labor shortage, and we do, it's not the babies that are born, it's the babies that haven't been born that have contributed to that labor shortage. But it won't really be about genuine business, financial, and economic analysis. It'll be about political pressure. And they're hyper-organized, and they're all over. We're already seeing now J.P. Morgan, other big banks saying, well, we'll pay for your transportation costs for your abortion. And we're seeing technology companies, Microsoft is doing the same thing, or we'll reimburse you. These companies are owned by us. The shareholder resources are ours. That's our money, and they should not be using it to pander to the pro-abortion lobby, or actually the abortion lobby, the abortion industry, with our money.
Well, we've certainly seen that play out, Jerry, with other issues by corporate America wielding their power and influence to inform and change policy. Jerry, for Christians who are owners in these companies and want to express their values, how do they go about that?
Well, that's a great question. And I really like the way you phrase that, because often there is a conversation that says, how can you only invest in companies that are aligned with your values already? And I would suggest you can be outward facing and eat with tax collectors and prostitutes. So what I would say is align your responsibility with your values, which means if you own Microsoft or JP Morgan or Yelp or any of these companies that are pandering, if you're an owner, then you have authority. Use it. Don't sell them. Why, don't retreat. They need your influence. You need to take your values and take them out into the marketplace, not withdraw from the marketplace. So every one of these companies has a website. Every one of those websites has an investor relations page. You go to that investor relations page and you write to them and you say, I am an owner. I don't want you interfering with states when it comes to them protecting the sanctity of human life.
Well said, Jerry. Well, when we come back, stagflation. What is it and what do you need to know? More with Jerry Boyer just ahead.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Economist Jerry Boyer with us today. We're talking stagflation. That's right. A Wall Street Journal article recently said that stagflation could come back. Well, Jerry, you quickly responded and I took note with the quote, "What do you mean could? It is back. Inflation more than double historic rates and growth was negative in Q1 and likely near zero now in Q2. The question isn't whether stagflation has come back. It's how long will it stay?" End quote. Jerry, explain that for us. And by the way, do you still have your subscription to the Journal?
Well, I do, but that's because I pay them for it. So I don't think they fire customers. But I haven't been on the editorial page for some time, so I don't know if that'll help or hurt. Actually, I think the editorial page would actually agree with me on this. It's the news division of the Wall Street Journal that sometimes has a little bit of a bias to it. So what I mean by that is that stagflation doesn't have to be a prediction. It's observable. We've had it already. I mean, it's already underway. We've roughly had 8 to 9% year-over-year inflation. I don't need to tell you that. You all know that. If you shop, if you're the shopper in your family, you know that already. Yeah. And for the first quarter, economic growth was negative. For the second quarter, which just ended, it could be negative, could be zero, could be a little bit positive, but that's low. America is a 3.5% growth country historically, or 4% even. So somewhere around zero isn't normal for us. So stagflation exists now. The only question is, how long will it last? The example that we've had of stagflation in the past would be the 1970s. At the time, it was believed to be impossible because the Keynesian economic model said that the way to fight inflation is to slow the economy down. And the way to speed up the economy is to put a little inflation in there. So they thought that there was a trade-off and you couldn't have both things at the same time. And what we found out is that you could. We did have both things at the same time. We had high inflation and we had low growth. Because bad policy produces both of those things. Then we forgot, because a lot of people who lived through that are gone. And so stagflation was again seen as impossible. Well, it's here, because the permanent principles, the way God has designed the universe, when you violate certain principles, certain bad things tend to happen, and we violated them in terms of soundness of money and encouragement of productivity and thrift, and now we're reaping the whirlwind from that.
So essentially the definition, Jerry, you alluded to it, high inflation, low or no growth. And as you said, we're experiencing that now. What was it like for consumers back in the 1970s when we had prolonged stagflation? And what can we take away from that?
Well, you're reminding me of our age difference when you ask that question.
Because that was not when I was born, in the middle of that
right?
decade.
Jerry, tell me about the olden times. So in the olden times, we had high levels of inflation and we had high unemployment and we had three recessions. We had two recessions in the 70s and one in the early 80s when we had to decrease the money supply in order to fight the inflation. And the one in the early 80s was really destructive. So it was a very painful thing. And what we learned is you can't print your way into growth. And we also learned if you don't know the first lesson and you try to print your way into growth, then the exit from that is very painful. Because all that money that you printed, you have to contract that. If you print too much money, it causes inflation. Print is a metaphor, of course. It's not mostly the printing press. It's mostly electronic. But we're creating new money supply. Well, in order to reverse that, you have to take money supply out. And that's contractionary. And people have trouble getting credit. And mortgage rates rise. And then we don't buy houses anymore. Or we don't borrow to buy cars, etc. And that slows the economy down. And I think that's the painful lesson. Not only the pain of low growth and the pain of inflation, but then even greater pain when you have to, reverse that. And I'm not seeing that kind of courage. I'm seeing a little courage from the Fed, with some raising of interest rates, but I don't think that they have quite the political alignment that you had between Volcker and Reagan, the willingness to really fight inflation hard.
Mm. And so as a result, it is going to be somewhat painful. We're experiencing that as we unwind this. We hear that Russia's invasion of Ukraine is what began high inflation and rising fuel prices and even what's led to the increase in food costs as well. Jerry, could something like that really cause all of this, or is that a narrow view?
I think it's a narrow view. I think it's factually wrong because high inflation was already here before the invasion of Ukraine. So we had 7.5% inflation before then, and then it went up to 8.5%. So the main thing isn't that extra percent. The main thing is that it was already almost double normal. The other thing is, you had from 1980 to 1987, you had a major war between Iran and Iraq, two major energy producers, 7 years of all out warfare between those nations. They almost destroyed one another. And what happened? Oil prices dropped. Because Reagan stabilized the dollar and deregulated energy and unleashed American entrepreneurship. Foreigners do not determine the value of our dollar, and foreigners do not determine our energy industry. These are self-inflicted wounds. Yes, Putin did some damage, but if we were a sound currency and we were producing energy in accordance with our potential, then energy prices would be dropping now like they did from 1980 to 1987 while a worse war between energy producers was going on.
Jerry, the Federal Reserve is doing their part to address this, using their blunt instrument to affect the demand side, raising interest rates at an aggressive pace, and we're hearing that they'll continue to do so throughout the year. Is that enough, or is there more to this?
No, it's not enough, because it's not just about decreasing inflation, it's about getting growth going. You've got two problems. You've got stag and you've got inflation. Decreasing the money supply deals with deflation, but it doesn't deal with the stag. And so it makes things overly painful. So what we ought to have are tax cuts and monetary discipline. By the way, it's not a lot of monetary discipline. The Fed increased the money supply from COVID time to now by about 400%. You know how much they've decreased it during this taper period? 2%. A 400% run up and then a 2% decrease. This is not monetary discipline yet. And we're already, you know, almost into a recession territory with this. The only way to really kind of make this a soft landing or a somewhat soft landing is to also take the burden off business, lower taxes, lower regulation, unleash energy. That will make the slowdown in the money supply less painful if we have growth to kind of cushion us.
So, Jerry, we have just a minute left. It's really going to take policy changes, you believe, to truly turn this around?
Yes, policy changes. There are limits, of course. We have a demographic problem. We're an aging population, which goes back to our first segment, abortion. We've got permanently missing people. So that's a headwind no matter what we do. But we can help, and policy would be the right direction. Not just stricter monetary policy, but more growth-oriented fiscal and regulatory policy. That would make this easier to get through. That was the formula from 81 to 82, and we had a tremendous expansion, and we beat inflation. Human nature hasn't changed. That's the formula that would work now, too.
Jerry, 20 seconds left. What would the average American, what would you have them know, a listener to this show, about what they should do in light of this?
Well, pray. Don't be afraid. Be a little thriftier. If you're thinking about early retirement, think twice. You might need that income, and maybe even extend that a little bit. Also, don't stop giving, because things are tougher for you. Well, they're even tougher for poor people. So don't stop giving because you're tightening your belt. Tighten your belt someplace else other than giving to the kingdom and the poor.
Well said, Jerry. That's a great place to finish. Great information as usual. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Economist Jerry Boyer has been our guest today. You can read his insightful articles at ChristianPost.com. Your call's next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
AFA Excellence.
Repairing the foundations.
American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What needs to be told to these black men is
get a job, stop fathering children that you can't take care of, stop hanging out in the streets, and stop acting like the cops are your enemy anytime you interact with them, particularly when you're interacting with them in a situation where you know they've come expecting potential trouble because of the circumstances you've allowed yourself to be in. How about trying that?
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you, 800-525-7000. Always great to have our friend Jerry Boyer with us. Jerry's our resident economist. You'll hear from him often, as such an uncanny ability to process what's going on economically through the lens of Scripture. And Jerry's just a treasure trove of godly wisdom related to finance, and we have him as a frequent guest. Certainly, we'll keep monitoring the situation related to inflation and stagflation as more data comes out. But I love where he ended today. At the end of everything, let's not stop giving. You know, when money gets tight, often that's the first thing to go. And let me just affirm what Jerry said. You know, giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. It's our opportunity to take a portion of what God has entrusted to us, because it's all His, and return it into circulation into His economy, to bless others on our path, to help the local church do its work, to be connected to God's activity through ministry and other endeavors. It's a privilege to be giving. It's an act of worship. So let's continue our systematic giving even in these challenging times. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. All right, taking your calls and questions today, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Also, a little later in the broadcast, a new high in terms of the average car payment. That's right, car payments have been on the rise. According to the latest data, the average car payment just hit $712 a month. Can you believe it? I'll talk about how you can think about that and what you should do if you're in the market for a new car. That and much more coming up on the broadcast today. Let's head to the phones. First up, Connecticut. Erica, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Hi, Erica. Are you with us? Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling today. How may I help you?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, go right ahead with your question.
I'm calling in reference. I'm 90 years old, and I'm thinking of going into assistant live-in.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have two of them in mind. One is costing me $5,000 a month, no entrance fee. And the other one, I have an entrance fee of $180,000.
Yes.
And $3,000 a month.
Yes, ma'am.
And I asked them what happened to my $180,000. And they claimed that I would get back half of it eventually, you know, on my estate, in my estate or whatever.
Yes.
And it sounds confusing and it sounds not right. So I said, let me come to you and find out if I'm crazy or if I'm, you know. The man said to me that I'll be saving $24,000 a year.
Yeah.
If I go with the $180,000 deal.
Yes.
So I was wondering if that makes sense.
Yeah, Erica. Well, I appreciate your call, and I know this is a difficult decision, and this is a lot of money in either case. As to the second one, it's not uncommon when you move into these facilities to have an entrance fee, often buying into the residence where you would live. And in many cases, you don't get any of that back. The idea is that you'd live there the rest of your life and they'd move from assisted living. And then many of these facilities will have a progression all the way up to full-blown nursing care if you need that. And so you'd be able to stay there for the rest of your life. And you are buying in, and again, often you don't get anything back. In this case, it sounds like perhaps if you were to decide to exit this facility, you could get up to half. And I would also want to know that, you know, upon your death, if you were to stay, what happens to it? Does that pass on to your heirs or do they keep it? But that's not uncommon. So I don't have any concerns about that necessarily. I think the question is really going to come down to, from a financial standpoint, what is possible? Do you have the ability with both the assets and the income to consider both options? So let's talk about that. What do you have, Erica, in the way of liquid assets that could be used if you wanted to buy into a facility like this?
The liquid asset would be the 200,000, I think.
You have about 200,000
in liquid asset.
Okay.
And my income would be about 2,500 or 600.
Okay.
And I have, you know, my residence. If I sell that, and that would bring me another 100 and. Let's just say 100,000.
Okay, so you'd have about 300,000, and then you've got about 2,500 a month in income. So the challenge with the second option is, even though you'd have the ability to buy in, you would be having to pull from the roughly 120,000 that would be left over, the proceeds from your home sale, and the remainder of the 200,000 after you bought in for the 180,000. You'd have to pull about 500 a month from that at a minimum, just to pay the monthly fee plus any other expenses you have on top of that. So that's not sustainable for the long term. I mean, it would give you, quite a bit of runway at age 90, but you would obviously be depleting those over time. The other option is to go in at 5,000 a month, and in that case, you would also sell the home, also have $300,000. And, you know, you'd be able to, you would have to spend that down over time. That $5,000 a month would last you, you know, about 3 years, at which point, you know, once you depleted your assets, you'd have to qualify for Medicare once you have less than $2,000 in assets. So I think one of the options might be to look at, you know, whether it makes sense to consider a facility that takes Medicaid so you wouldn't have to move again. As you look at both of these options, also consider the location and just the facility itself. I've got to hit a break. You stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
If the Democrats do get a, quote, shellacking, I wouldn't be surprised if Biden didn't resign after November because of his failing mental state and maybe even being under an impeachment type situation if it's learned that he made money personally off Hunter Biden's business deals.
That's right.
The ethics of that, let alone the potential lawful problems.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. We have a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind financially, we'd love to hear from you as you live, give, owe, and grow. That's right. There's the only four things you can do with money. Live on it. You can give it away. You owe it for debt and taxes, or you grow it for your emergency fund, short-term and long-term savings. And in that, we look to God's word to say, what is the heart of God related to our money? Well, we first start with the idea that God owns it all, that it's all His. And therefore, we're stewards, trustees, managers of God's resources, whatever passes through our hands. And then money becomes a tool to align with our values. Using our priorities on our knees, holding it loosely, saying, God, what would you have me to do? How should I live? Not taking my cues from the world, but really in prayer, establishing what is enough? How do I live with contentment? And how much is enough with my lifestyle? How much is enough with my accumulation and my balance sheet? What am I saving for? And what has God called me to? All of these things, I think, is a wholly different perspective of how we should view our money in light of Scripture and see what God has for us. Well, together each day on this program, we try to find God's heart and help you move forward with practical answers to the decisions you're facing. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Arkansas is where we go next. David, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead. Hey, David.
Hi. Yes, I have some questions about gold, physical gold. I've never, and I was told, you know, now's maybe a good time to. So what's some good reputable sources and, you know, how to know it's, you know, what are your thoughts on the gold option?
Yeah. Tell me how this would fit into your overall investable assets, David, kind of how much are you looking to put in and how does that relate to whatever else you might have that's invested for the long term?
Well, I'm kind of new to investing. I've, have about 15,000 saved. I'm debt free. So I was thinking maybe 3,000. I was going to maybe get some physical gold, not to know, you know, like how to find out which companies are reputable. I see these TV commercials all the time. I just didn't know, you know, there's coins and then, I guess there's also the bullion. So I was just kind of curious, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the first consideration, David, is just, you know, whether gold is the very best thing for you to use as you just get started with investing. I might consider a different approach. You know, first of all, as you think about your finances, I love the fact that you're debt-free. That's great. I'd love for you to be a systematic giver. I think that's going to help to calibrate your heart to God's and break the grip of money over your life. I think that's really essential to be right up front. And then beyond that, I would would love for you to have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months' expenses in the bank in liquid savings, not invested, ready for the unexpected. Do you have that in addition to this $15,000, or is that really all you have saved up at this point?
Well, I mean, I have all that included, so I do have savings for emergency fund and
great.
That's part of the $15,000. So the $3,000 is extra.
I see. Yeah, very good. So you're already thinking about that. That's a good thing. Now, with the $3,000, kind of where would I start in terms of investing? And at the end of the day, you're the steward, so you need to make the decision. And if you want to go in the direction of gold, you certainly could do that. I would propose another alternative, and here's why. Gold is the fear trade. It's a store of value. It tends to do better during inflationary times, when you know, such as when we find ourselves in right now, and when there's a lot of fear out there. I will tell you, though, David, you sound like a young guy. You're just getting started. Historically speaking, gold doesn't perform as well over the long haul, and it has more volatility. And so from my standpoint, I think you'd be better off as a new investor rather than buying physical gold, which means you have storage issues, you have cost issues because you've got markups, you know, from the dealer. You have to deal with impurities. You don't earn any interest. You know, just for a number of factors, taking possession of physical gold, both from a performance as well as the other factors I mentioned, I just don't think you'll do as well over the long haul. And you're highly concentrated because you're at the, you know, all of your investments are at the risk of the performance of, in this case, one particular precious metal. Whereas what I would love to see you do as an alternative would be to consider opening a Roth IRA. If this is long-term money, you know, the stock market is down right now more than 20% from its highs. This is a great time for you to start systematically investing into a very well-diversified stock and bond portfolio, probably largely, if not exclusively, stock portfolio at your age. And, you know, you could even use a low-cost index front approach where you're just capturing the broad moves of the market. I think that's going to do better for you over time. But if you said, no, Rob, I've really thought through this. I really want to own the gold. Then I would say, okay, you know, given the concerns that I have, if you move forward with it, I would just make sure you understand you do need a place to secure it. You want to make sure you work with a reputable dealer in your area. And so I would head to Investopedia. You may not have heard of that, investopedia.com. They list what are called the best gold dealers for 2022. You'll find 6 or 8 of them there. And I would use probably that list as a starting point to determine who is a reputable resource for that. Again, investopedia.com, and you're just going to look for the best gold dealers in 2022. The internet will be your friend here as you do this research, you know, getting a referral from a reputable site like Investopedia, I think, would be a great starting point. Is that helpful, David?
It sure does. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. Anna's in Texas. Anna, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob.
Hi.
I'm 68 years old. I'm still working, and I plan to work till age 70 or even more, maybe. I live in a 5-bedroom house. I'm a widow, so I live alone. I owe $30,000 on my mortgage. I'm debt-free, and I would like to sell my house, but I will be paying, of course, a lot more to rent somewhere else. So I just need your advice on, you know, if you think I should sell. I have $7,000 401k because I started working late after my husband passed away. I have $10,000 in savings. Like I said, I'm still working. I make $50,000 a year.
Okay. Very good. Anna, I'm sorry to hear about your husband's passing, but I'm glad you're thinking through this. Have you put together your retirement budget? And I realize that the housing question is a question mark, because that's really right at the center of your question here. And if you were to sell, that's going to change quite a bit. But I guess I'm wondering, is the goal for you, just based on the assets you described, for you to be able to live on Social Security alone once you retire, whether that's 70, 71, you know, somewhere in the next few years?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be using the money from my house as my retirement mostly. That is my retirement. So, and you know,
do you know what you'll be getting as are you already collecting Social Security?
I am not.
Okay. Do you know what you're going to receive when you start collecting it?
Probably $2,200 at least a month.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because the other option, Anna, is to go ahead and sell. You know, the housing market is very strong right now. You could get top dollar coming out of the house and then buy something for cash that's smaller. Keep your expenses as low as possible and try to live off that $2,200 a month. I mean, that would be the other option. And then if you needed to, you could convert that to an income stream at any point through a reverse mortgage. We've got to take a quick break. You stay on the line. We'll finish up on just the other side of this break. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back with Anna and perhaps your call.
On the next Focus on the Family, the late Steve Farrar shares a recorded message of encouragement for dads. Being with your son or daughter is one of the greatest gifts you can give them. If you don't believe it, listen in and you'll hear how you can make together time become valuable time. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
The National Association of Independent Schools hosted a conference with Gender Spectrum. They encourage child transgenderism and partner with surgeons who perform sex change operation on kids. If a gender-confused adult decides they want to try to be someone other than who God created them to be, they have free will to do so. However, when we tell a little boy he can be Superman, Batman, or a girl, we've crossed the line. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Welcome back to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Anna. She owns her home with a small mortgage. She's wondering if she should sell it. She'll be working for another 2 to 3 years. She's got $7,000 in a 401k, $10,000 in savings, and wondering whether this would make sense to go ahead and sell, and what about the rent prices that she'd have once she sold. And Anna, what I was saying just before the break is, I would love for you to be able to look at the option of having something that's sustainable, and that could either come by, number one, downsizing, taking the equity out of this home, buying something smaller that's more manageable that you could own free and clear, and then living on Social Security. Or if you wanted to rent, you could take the proceeds, invest them, pull a reasonable amount out per month that would be sustainable. And I would probably look at a 4% withdrawal rate and rent. So I think you've got those two options. What do you expect the proceeds would be after you sell it and pay off the $30,000 mortgage? What do you think you could get out of the house?
I would say $300,000.
Okay, $300,000. And have you looked at the option of downsizing to something else and buying, or would you really just feel more comfortable renting and holding on to your capital?
Well, I have looked into renting, and it is a lot more than what I'm paying now. That kind of, you know, put the brakes on for me,
yeah,
but I'm not
yeah.
sure that, you know, I should be thinking that way. Because I need to just take whatever the equity that I have in my home to, you know, to take advantage of the situation right now in the housing market.
Sure, sure.
And just, yeah. And of course, downsizing, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, because if you were to take that $300,000 and invest it and pull 4% a year, which I think would be sustainable if it was invested properly with a professional advisor, you could pull $12,000 a year, and the idea would be that you'd never touch the principal. So that would give you $1,000 a month on top of your $2,200 or so you're going to get from Social Security. The question would be, could you cover your bills plus rent for that $3,200 a month? That would be option one. I think option two is to take the $300,000, perhaps redeploy maybe a couple $100,000 into a smaller place, own it free and clear, get your expenses as low as possible because now you don't have a rent payment or a mortgage. And, you know, at that point, you'd have $100,000 that you could invest, and that would throw off about $4,000 a year. So, you know, that would give you about $333 a month on top of your $2,200. So now you're living on $2,500, but you don't have a mortgage payment. So I think you've, you know, got those two options. The other, maybe third option, which is right in the middle, is you sell it, you rent for a period of time, you watch the housing market, see what happens. You know, if we hit a recession, mortgage rates are, you know, already headed way up. You know, maybe you end up buying a couple of years down the road. I mean, I think that would be the other option. But one of those two seems like it probably is the best scenario. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I do like your third option. I appreciate you telling me about that. And that does sound great for me.
Okay. And I think the key is once you sell, to get an advisor that you can work with to really help you protect this capital, but invest it in a way that's going to throw off some income.
All right. I will surely think about that, and I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Anna. We do have certified Kingdom Advisors in Texas. There's about 1,200 of them around the country. So as you consider finding an advisor, I'd interview two or three, regardless of who you go with, and you could find a CKA in your area at our website, moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA, and we appreciate you calling very much. Let's head to North Carolina. Louise, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. I have a question about annuities.
Okay.
My husband passed away a few months ago, and I inherited two annuities. And he had chosen, or we had chosen, the lifetime benefit, and I had assumed that it was going to be the same amount that he was receiving, but it's considerably less. And I have the option of cashing in the annuities.
Mm-hmm.
And investing in something else. And
yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, what would be the amount that you'd be able to pull out of the annuities if you took the lump sum?
Okay, it would be about $178,000.
Okay, and what are you getting as an annuity stream of income if you leave it there and annuitize?
It went down from almost $1,500 to $1,010.
Okay. All right. You know, I would say, I mean, that's not bad, actually, because if you were to tell me you had $178,000, I would say we'd probably only want to be pulling out about 4% a year, and that's only $7,100 a year. So that would be about $600 a month. So if you can get over $1,000 for the rest of your life, that seems like, even though I realize it's quite a bit less than what you were receiving, I think it's, you know, still more than I would encourage you to take if you were to pull the lump sum and invest it. Now, the difference is, even though I would encourage you to take out more like $600 a month instead of $1,000, at that point, you have access to your capital as opposed to just the income stream. So if you needed the money for medical expenses, or you wanted to move into an assisted living home and you had to buy in or something like that, you'd have the money to do it. But in terms of just looking at converting this asset to an income stream, I actually like the $1,000 a month better than what I would be encouraging you to take on a $178,000 income portfolio. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So I think that's the decision to consider as you really think through this, because there's something to be said about having a guaranteed income stream for life. And if that $1,000 a month plus Social Security or whatever else you're receiving is enough to cover your bills, at least you know that's you know, in place and guaranteed, you know, whereas the other is not. But again, there's something to be said about having your capital. So I would consider that. Don't get hung up on the fact that it was $1,500 and now it's $1,000. I'd really focus more on, you know, is the $1,000 enough to cover my bills? And is that, you know, does that give me peace of mind for the rest of my life versus taking the lump sum?
Right now it is, but I'm looking ahead. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to live.
Sure.
If this is 15 years into the future, that $1,000 is going to be worth a lot less.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. But we also have to recognize that that $178,000, you know, if you're pulling $1,000 a month from that, depending on how it's invested, you could be eating into that principal every month. And that balance could be declining because you'd be taking, you know, quite a bit more than I would typically recommend as a withdrawal rate on a $178,000 portfolio. So I would just kind of think through that and consider both options. Perhaps connecting with an advisor to do some planning could make some sense as well, Louise. So maybe reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area to look at this in a little more depth before you make your final decision. We appreciate your call today. God bless you, and thanks for checking with us. Adela in Texas, you're going to be our final caller today. You go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can I help you?
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
This is Adela. I called yesterday.
Yeah.
I have some questions about a 401k that I got, and I'm not able to add to it.
Okay.
I called TD Ameritrade, and they said that as long as you take a pre-tax 401k and put it into a pre-tax money IRA.
Yes.
That was okay.
Sure.
Like you said, I was so excited. And so then they said, I know, I really was excited. And I had asked you about tax, and you said, you know, to find a tax person. Well, I talked to a tax person, and they said that, yes, you can do that, so the taxes are good. And then, but my question for you today is, if it's in a pre-tax IRA, then if I add to it, that's going to be post-tax money. Is there some magical way that they separate that?
It's really not going to be post-tax money because you're going to roll this 401k to what's called a traditional IRA,
yes.
which is a tax-deferred, it's pre-tax money because you get the deduction on it when you make the contribution. So you will be able to add to it with additional contributions that will also be pre-tax because you'll pay the tax on your income, but then whatever you contribute up to the maximum you're allowed into the IRA, you'll actually get a deduction on that against your taxes in the year that you make the contribution. So that is not after-tax money, which puts it in the same category as the money that was rolled over from the 401k.
Okay, this is really great. I'm really excited.
I'm glad we could make your day, Adela. That's great. Hey, we appreciate your call. Thanks for checking with us. God bless you, and I'm glad to hear you've got so many answers in the last 24 hours. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. It's been, it's been a blast being alongside you today, taking your calls and questions as we think about how do we be faithful stewards. If it says in God's Word, which it does in 1 Corinthians, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. What does that look like? It's consistency in the right direction, in the same direction, heading toward the Lord and understanding that it's His resources we want to hold loosely and be found faithful in managing. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today. Pat Montague handling our phones today. Mr. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Jim Henry providing me great research today as well. Thank you for being along with us. So thankful for American Family Radio and this partnership we have here on MoneyWise Media. We are listener supported, so if you'd like to consider a gift to the ministry, you can do that quickly and easily at moneywise.org. Just click the donate button. In the meantime, have a great day. May God bless you, and we'll see you again next time on MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.